Oh, somebody open up your mouth and praise him right now. Come on, if you're happy to be here, somebody lift up their voice and praise him right now. Holy is the Lamb of God. Praise God. Well, we're here. I guess we might as well have some good church while we're here. Amen. 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 You can make your way back to your seats. Remain standing. Caught you, see? You hesitated. Remain standing on the way back to your seats. What an honor and privilege it is to be able to stand here at Alabama Youth Camp 2019. It feels good to be back in Alabama. You guys are okay? I heard two hand claps here. Y'all not happy in Alabama? Amen. And I've been looking forward to being here, spend time with you. It's been a while since I got to be in Alabama to minister. I don't know how long it's been. It's been several months. But this district is special to me. I have some great friends in this district. Michael Thomas, a good friend of mine, is out of this district. Brother Sean Meeks, is he here? Did I see him? I thought, come on, somebody. Good to see Brother Meeks here. Amen. My first youth camp that I ever preached was in the Alabama Youth Camp. Amen. 2015, Brother Meeks called me. It was a situation, they had to move the camp around, and one of their speakers had to reschedule, and he asked me to come, and I'm forever indebted to him and his belief in my ministry, and I give honor to Brother Meeks here tonight. Can you give them a hand clap again? Amen. Amen. That particular camp, we weren't as blessed to have this wonderful facility. We laid the foundation for you when we had that camp at that old campground that probably hadn't been used in years until we got there. None of the air condition worked. We had fans everywhere. My socks were just soaked down. Just with so much sweat, I ruined like three suits that week. But I'm telling you, the power of God moved in that place. One of the greatest camps that I was privileged to be a part of. Amen. Amen. Give honor to your youth president, Brother Maddox, and this wonderful district youth team. Give honor to them, love and appreciate every one of them. I believe 2015 now, that's the last time I saw. I believe it's Brother Roberts. Come on, somebody. Brother Harrelson. Brother Kerry Jones. Brother Maddox. I got good memory. We had fun. We played ball last summer. We're all grown up now. We're all grown up. We're all married and have kids, and a few of us have kids. I'm not putting it on Brother Harrelson yet or anything. And But God is doing something special in this district. Some wonderful pastors that I've been privileged to fellowship with. Give honor to all of you. And just watching everybody grow up, I saw Brother Stephen Williams' daughter up here. See Sister Harrelson up here. Everybody's just grown up out here. Everybody's just grown up. I don't know how that happens. It's just so weird. Amen. Gospel of Luke chapter 16. Gospel of Luke chapter 16. Give honor to my beautiful wife, my son James Asher. We got in about 30 minutes before service, and they travel with me about 90% of the time. James Asher's 3 years old. He's been on well over 200 flights, and so he's close to platinum status with American Airlines. He has gold status. He's had gold status since he was two, but he's trying to break through. Amen. So he crosses his legs on the airplane, asks the flight attendant kindly for water or apple juice. They bring it to him. He lifts up the pinky finger. He sips slowly. Pray for him. He is spoiled. We spoil that boy. And we love it. Amen. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. What an honor and privilege. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, if you have it, say amen. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. If they can just see a miracle, they'll repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, if they don't hear the word, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want to preach to you on this subject tonight, hell's greatest fear. Hell's greatest fear. Why don't you lay your Bibles down? Everyone, close your eyes, lift up your hands, and let's ask the Lord to have his way in this place. Lord Jesus, I thank you for every young person that has come here near and far. I thank you for every youth pastor, every youth pastor's wife, every pastor and pastor's wife that have allowed them to come and partake of what you're wanting to do here. Lord Jesus, let there be revelation and let there be understanding. Lord, let the gift of love be in operation in this place. Lord, let love pour down from heaven in a mighty way. Lord, let there be conviction. Let there be understanding. Let there be revelation. Quicken our spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you clap your hands unto the Lord? Come on, if you're excited, can you clap those hands a little bit louder? Come on, if you believe that God is here, somebody clap your hands, all you people, and somebody shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on. Come on, somebody lift up your voice if you have expectation. Come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Somebody shout yes. Hell's greatest fear. The Bible tells us very clearly, and it is a confidence and assurance for us to reside in, and that is in James chapter 2 in verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devil is afraid of God. The devil has a fear of God and people that possess God in them. The enemy is afraid of people that have a relationship with God. He is afraid of someone that has contact with that one God, because something bears witness in his spirit when someone has a hold of God. And the enemy, your enemy, is afraid of Jesus Christ. He knows he's not deceived by the human traditions and doctrines of a triune God, three co-equal persons, but he understands there is only one creator and that there is only one God, and he fears. Come on, can I tell you, the triune doctrine didn't even come from man. Hell sent that doctrine to bring man off course, because he understood if man gets in contact with God that he loses all of his power over that vessel. Can I preach to you? The devil cannot kill you. You didn't hear me just now. The devil cannot kill you. Don't you fear or worry about the devil. If the devil wanted to kill you, all of us would be dead right now if he had the power to kill us. But it is the presence of God that guides and protects hell. Can I tell you, the devil cannot stand in the presence of God. When they brought the ark into that Dagon temple, when they brought the ark into that false god temple, that false god bowed before the ark of God. Can I tell you, the devil is quicker to bow than humans bow. You're not hearing me. It is the devil's nature to bow, and he gets on his knees quicker than any human in this earth, because he knows who has all power. First thing the devil does when he hears Jesus' name is bow. He's got calluses on his knees because he bows so much. You didn't hear what I just said. He bows quicker than you bow. See, you have a free will. He doesn't. You didn't hear me. You get to do what you want because you got God's breath in your body. So you feel like you don't have to bow. You don't have to clap. Can I tell you, when the devil hears Jesus' name, he gets on his knees quicker than any young person, quicker than any elder. He bows prostrate before the presence. Can I tell you, your enemy cannot stand before the might and power and force of a God that created everything. Oh, somebody clap if you believe what I'm preaching. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's afraid. He said, man, I want to touch Job, but you're protecting him. And I know where you are, I can't be. I know where you are, I can't come in and do anything without your permission. I want to kill Job, but you won't allow me. And God said, you know what, I'll let you touch him, but you can't kill him. Okay, I'll let you touch his stuff, but you can't touch him. Satan touches his stuff, and Job responds by repenting.
repentance. Job responds by worship. And you know what Satan did? You know what? Let me just touch his body. Let me kill him. God said, no, I will not let you kill him, but I will let you touch his health. Can I preach to you right now? The devil cannot kill you. He may can touch your body. He may can touch your stuff, but he cannot take your soul. A soul that resides in God cannot be defeated.
Oh, hey, amen. And hell fears God, and he fears God in the flesh. He fears the Word of God. God manifested in himself in the flesh. God, in the beginning, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He fears God, so he has to fear the Word of God.
Hell's greatest fear is God, and he fears the preached Word of God. And it's not just a part of the Word that he fears. He fears the entirety of the Word. And because he fears the entirety of the Word, he will do whatever it takes to keep portions of the Word from you.
Hello?
He doesn't care if you have a part of the Word. He's afraid if you get exposed to the whole counsel of God. He doesn't fear mercy too much. No, he doesn't fear grace all that much. No, he doesn't fear the love of God all that much. No, he doesn't fear the long suffering of God. No, he doesn't fear the longevity, the no shadow of turning, the resolute nature. He doesn't fear those attributes of God or his Word. Hell's greatest fear are sermons about hell. He trembles when he hears a word about hell. Because that is that portion of Scripture that he has tried to erase from everybody. And while he tries to keep back the understanding of hell, he pushes forth personal development, positivity, motivational speech. Hello? And because he fears the word of hell, sermons on hell so much, he will do whatever he can to make you feel uncomfortable and shun the thought that there even is a hell. He's afraid of sermons on hell because he's counting on you blindly going to hell. Hello? But when there's a sermon about hell, it brings awareness to keep your feet from falling into hell. He wants you to blindly go, not intentionally. No one intentionally goes to hell, but he tries to persuade you that you can do anything and still not go there. Anything. Just anything. And he persuades young people that you can live how you want and still go to heaven. And he really, The devil says, really, it's how you behave in church, not how you behave at school. It's if you clap at church, you can still go to heaven, even if you don't have any morals. If you just dress the part, I know that you're sleeping with people when you go home, but if you just dress the part at camp, maybe you can still go to heaven. And what he does is he persuades us to be hypocrites and believe that we're still going to go to heaven based off what we do in church alone and not what we do at home. But you could be dressed in a nice, pretty skirt down to your ankles, but you live a lifestyle of fornication. And you're going to go to hell with that dress on. Yeah, because that dress is supposed to represent holiness in the body and holiness in the spirit. So you got to be holy on the outside and holy on the inside. Come on, don't get so caught up on the abstract that you don't get something in your spirit that gives you a hunger for God. Hallelujah. And you got people around you that give you excuses for your hellish nature. It's just a slip up. I believe in grace and mercy. Y'all have heard me preach that all the time. I'm going to preach it this week. That's just who I am. It's the word. He's full of grace, but he's also full of truth. I got to preach both sides of the coin. I believe in God's mercy and grace for a slip up, but when it's a slip up, 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 that's not a slip up anymore. That is a behavior. That is a habit that can send you to hellfire and brimstone. Come on. And somebody needs to cleave to the altar tonight before you leave this place and say, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to dwell in eternity with you over everything. I'm crashing the party because you like messages on miracles. Hello. That's what Lazarus said whenever, that's what the rich man said whenever he was in hell. Send Lazarus to my brothers. Let my brothers see a miracle. They'll believe. Hello? How many miracles you have to see before you stop watching pornography? How many miracles you have to see before you stop drinking alcohol? How many more miracles you have to see before you finally keep your hands to yourself until you get married in holy matrimony? Come on, we gotta get back to living right and doing right, because there is a judgment that awaits if we don't get this thing. How many more miracles you have to see before you start forgiving people? And yes, no matter how much your parents may have hurt you, you still need to forgive your parents. Don't go to hell because you have a grudge against your mom or against your dad. You better get it right tonight, because you're on your way if you don't have a spirit of repentance that comes on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many miracles you have to see before you finally stop exempting yourself from every sermon? Oh, that's for you. Oh, that's for you. You should have heard the preacher at camp. That's for you. I'm going to get the CD. No, I'm talking to you. Hello? You. Yeah, you that's looking crazy at me right now, you. You that haven't clapped one time in this camp yet, I'm talking to, come on, I can see you. You don't think if you rebel now, you're not rebelling later? Come on, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What I am preaching is not optional. I am preaching a commandment. I am preaching the word of the living God that deserves respect. Seems like the only time people fall asleep is in church. Wide awake in your education. Wide awake in school. Fall asleep in every sermon. Don't touch your phone in the classroom, no. But you're on Instagram every sermon you hear. And you're going to convince me that you love God? You're not hearing me yet. You're going to try to convince me that you can't even stand for God now. What makes you think you're going to stand before him? No, he will cast you down to judgment with that rebellious heart and rebellious spirit. So if you haven't clapped tonight, you need to clap right now. If you haven't shouted tonight, you need to. Yes, every single person in this building needs to lift up their voice and clap their hands. Now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Clap every person in this building. See what I'm doing right now is I'm making the devil scared. And I'm making the devil and you scared. Hello? The Bible says that rich man fared sumptuously. Now that's some KJV English for you. He fared sumptuously, meaning he lived a luxurious lifestyle. He was rich. He did whatever he wanted. He had, if he didn't have it, his money would buy it. And he did what he was the one with the million Instagram followers. He was the one, I'm preaching to somebody right now. He was the one with the viral videos. And on the outside, everybody thought that man was well off. The pastor looked at him like that man's on his way to heaven. He goes to youth camp every year. He wears his suit and tie. He goes fall down at his knees. But you don't go to hell just by what you're doing on the outside. You go to hell not just the manifestation of lust, but the lust and the lies and the evil that's on the inside. Can I give you a revelation? Your heritage doesn't get you to heaven. Your heritage doesn't give you more mercy. Your heritage doesn't give you more. You're not hearing me right now. You think you can fall in sin, go out in the world, and then come back, do what you want. No. People that go out there, they normally don't come back. You better get right with God now, and you better get it right. Thank God. Thank God for your heritage. You need to honor your parents, your pastor, your leadership every day. You better thank God for your heritage that's in your church. But your heritage doesn't get you to heaven. See, some of y'all use that because you've been around the church so long. You think you can get away with more and still go to heaven, because I'm preaching in the Holy Ghost right now. And here you are flirting with everything. Here you are having sex with everybody. Here you are living that promiscuous lifestyle. And you think your heritage is going to give you a pass. You think your good church is going to give you a no. When you go to judgment, God's not going to ask you what your last name is. He's going to say, what have you done? What have you done? What have you done? Hallelujah. You take it for granted coming to camp. Some of y'all didn't even prepare yourself spiritually. You're like, oh, those fast days are for people that's going to be radical. It's quiet in here. Yeah, I got to preach this, or this camp isn't going to be what it needs to be. Because some of y'all came here with some wrong perceptions, thinking you're just going to get a spouse and go home and never come back to church. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching to you right now. You just came to get a few more followers. You came to get a few more connections. You came, come on somebody. Let me tell you the connection that you need before you leave. Let me tell you who you need to follow before you leave. Let me tell you who you need to be like. Let me tell you. I'm afraid too many people are treating God like Snapchat. Take a picture at church and it erases by Monday. Take an Instagram story of God. Great move of God. That'll last 24 hours. There's too much happening in this world, and there's too much that's lying on your shoulders for you to keep playing games. The rich man had a nice house, had a nice family. And he was well off on the outside, but Lazarus, he wasn't well off on the outside, but there was something that God loved about him internally. Oh, and the people that everybody pushed aside at lunch at youth camp and said, no, they're weirdos. We're not I want to hang with the cool folk. If the cool folk aren't living right, you're gonna go to hell with the cool folk. Come on, somebody. How long are you gonna be hostage by your cool friends that you never worship and you never praise? And you do it every camp. Come on. You do it every camp. Every camp, you do the same thing with the same people. There has to be a difference. There has to be a distinction. There has to be something that changes in this. Y'all, you already set y'all schedule for after curfew tonight. And look how y'all looking at me crazy. You already set y'all meeting spot. Oh, nobody goes over here. This is perfect. It's a perfect place to get a quick smooch in. Oh, y'all act like y'all don't want to kiss now. Okay, I'm that old. Like, I'm an idiot, right? You just don't like that I'm being so straightforward with you. What? Hey, Hey, you talk about it all the time in secret. Why you have a problem with me talking about it publicly? Hey, y'all be bold in those DMs. Girl, you look good, girl. Then at church like this. Girl, you pretty, girl. Hey, what's up? Let me get that number, girl. What's going on? You gonna be at camp? Oh, yeah, I'll be there. Yeah. Let's chat. Y'all been talking for a month. You make sure y'all started the relationship a month before camp because y'all get to meet in person and y'all schedule y'all private time. Yeah, behind the statue. Just quick. Just 5 seconds. We're good. And you got your parents whispering in your ear, oh yeah, I think it's healthy for y'all to have that type of relationship. It's healthy to explore that sexuality so young. And if your parents have said that, they are pushing you down a path to hell. Do you know that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom? Will not. Cannot, will not. Hello? And I know you've done the camp thing where you came to camp and you broke it off in tears and you were on fire for a month, but they kept on reaching out to you and y'all kept staying connected, and you have a bad day. You revive that relationship. Y'all fall into it again. I'm there. I'm in the Holy Ghost right now. I'm in the Holy Ghost. And you're wrapped up in a web. You are entangled, and you don't think it's a big deal. Because if God comes back today, the Bible says judgment begins at the house of God. One of the first places he's going to visit is this camp. And he's going to start snatching young people off the pews and casting them down to hell. Just snatching them right up, right in the midst of their praise, just going to snatch them up. Because it's a game to you. It's a ritual to you. It's a routine to you. You want to hear a mystical story about miracles. You want to hear a mystical story about angels, but his presence doesn't move you anymore. I saw it. I've been in prayer and fasting for this camp. I saw it. He said, tell them where they're headed right now. They're headed straight to the pit. You warned them what's coming. He said, if I were to come right now, I would start pulling young people off of the pews and just snatching them and throwing them down as quick as I can, because they've played games with me for 3 years. They've made commitments and promises to me for 5 years, and they haven't kept one of them, and they don't think that I hear their vows. They don't think that I hear their commitment. They told me they were called. They told me they would live differently. They told me they would start worshiping me, but it looks like it's all a lie. And if I come now, I'm gonna take somebody.
I don't want to preach this, but this is what hell fears. When's the last time you heard a message like this? At anything. We got a pressure in our society. We got a pressure in our culture. We got a pressure among the young people. Because as soon as your pastor starts ministering judgment, you just tune your ears out. And you start listening to somebody younger that encourages you. And you're at a church where God has planted you, where you're supposed to blossom and grow. Come on. But you've cut off the voice of your man of God and your woman of God. Come on, somebody. And your pastor and your youth pastor preach lifestyle principles that you ignore because you feel like, oh, that's just for the old people. That's just for the older people. And you say, oh, I ain't listening to you. I'm going to go at youth camp and hear somebody my age. And God's like, oh, they said that? Victor Jackson, this is what I want you to preach. I want you to affirm what their leadership said, but they keep ignoring it. He lived a comfortable life. He did what he wanted. But the problem is he went to hell. And he had a nice burial, the Bible says. He was buried. He was had a nice procession, a nice funeral procession. A lot of money spent on his funeral. But the Bible says Lazarus, he just died. Like nobody even cared. He died and the angels carried him away. The rich men... man had people carrying him away. Lazarus died with no burial, but he had the angels carrying him away. And while the rich man had an earthly procession, Lazarus had a heavenly procession. And the last thing he asked for, number one, is he said, hey, send Lazarus to testify. I want to hear a good testimony, because I used to fall asleep on him when I was alive. Let me hear a testimony. Send Lazarus to testify to my brothers. And you make fun of everybody that gets up here to testify. Now. Your friends, they get up and testify, and they're nervous, but the anointing's on them. As soon as they come down, you just start making fun of them. An elder gets up, testify about a miracle or nothing. Y'all just make fun of their hand movements. You make fun of their voice. But when you go to hell, you're going to cry for another testimony. He said, no, rich man, you're not getting another testimony. Look what he says. He says, look, your friends, your brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. They have the word. They have the word of God. Let them hear the word. Oh, the rich man doesn't want to hear about the word. The word's boring. It's boring. What? You want me to read my Bible in a year? What about when I go through Leviticus? I have to read that too? What about Numbers? Can I read the hip-hop version? You know they have that out there, a hip-hop Bible? That's the world we're living in right now. Where God's like, yo, what's happening, Jesus? And youth just eating it up. Man, this is so relevant. Jesus is like, yo, Peter, I'm dabbing on him, bro. And you're just like, yeah, cool, man. And please listen to your home church, your local church, and your pastor and pastor's wife. But let me just throw this out there. Just because it's popular, doesn't mean it's not under hell's influence. And you do your thing, but I'm gonna do my thing, and you'll never catch me dabbing. You know what dabbing is for y'all hip-hop relevant people? You know, it means that after you get high on marijuana, you cough. That's what it means. You're coughing because you got high on marijuana. And you got apostolic people just. You do it because it's popular, but it's under hell's influence to lead you to get high. And I don't care how much they legalize marijuana. Marijuana can send you straight to hell no matter what the government legalizes. I lost you. Isn't it amazing how I can lose you when I start preaching on sinful culture? Oh, hold on. You can preach on hell now, but don't touch my hip-hop culture. Because I got stuff in my iTunes right now. Man, you gonna let the devil convince you that pumps up your spirit? Oh, I love listening to Nicki Minaj because she just gets me in the groove and I'm just ready. I just get excited for school and I get excited. Oh, I love Drake. Drake, he just helps me and Lil Wayne and oh man, Nipsey Hussle. Man, I love those lyrics and they just, and you got apostolic young people that will not listen to the word of God, but they'll listen to every sinful voice out there and literally defend them. You're going to defend them more than you defend this. There is a problem. It's okay to wish they were saved. It's okay to pray for their salvation. It's okay to pray that because God loves everybody, to love them and pray that God brings them into the kingdom, but never ignore that what they are producing is under the influence of another spirit that is not of Christ. And if any man preach any other Christ, let him be accursed. Can I preach right now? And let him be a Your music can send you to hell. Hello? Can I tell you there? I've been saved 10 years, and there's songs from whenever 15, 20 years ago, rap songs that I could just start rehearsing like that, spitting, because just never leaves. And I'm going to just share this because this is the point that I wanted to get to you. The worst thing in hell is not the flames. The worst thing in hell is not the darkness. It's not the tormenting fire. It is not where the Bible says, where the worm dieth not. It is not any of those things in hell. It's not just eternal separation from God. The worst thing in hell will be your memory. The rich man remembered his brothers. The worst thing that will haunt you while your body is being eaten up with fire for eternity is you will remember every altar call you didn't come to. You will remember every youth camp message. You will remember every title your pastor preached on. You will know the word of God by heart when you're in hell. You will remember every first night service. You will remember everything that you did. You will remember every preacher that ever came into your pulpit. You will remember every single thing. And you're going to wish for one more minute of an altar call. You're going to wish for a dip, a drop of anointing one time. You're going to wish for the driest service. Think of the driest service you've ever been. You're going to beg for that when you're in eternity. So I say, take advantage of it now. Somebody speak in tongues and lift up your voice. If I were you, I would run up to the front right now, find a place to kneel, lift up your hands, and cry out to God for mercy. If I were you, I'd pray to God that He would have mercy on you right now, that He extend the hand of grace to you once again. I wouldn't talk to the person beside you. I'd come up close as I can. I may have to kneel in the aisle, but I'm going to kneel down, and I'm going to lift up my hands to God, and I'm going to beg for mercy. If I were you, I'd beg for God to be merciful. I'd ask God to hold back judgment another day. I'd ask God for there to be new mercies in the morning. I'd ask God to pour out and say, God, if you pour out mercy on me again, oh God, I'll respond. If you pour out grace on me again, God, I'll respond. Come on, you need to cry out. He's given you a space of grace. He's granting you a time of repentance. If I were you, I'd repent right now and ask God to hold back judgment. I'd repent right now and I'd ask God to be merciful. Come on, you will remember this moment. You will remember this altar call. You will remember this camp. God promised me they will remember. You will remember this moment, whether it be in time or eternity, you will never forget what you are doing right now.